Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Light Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Sunday morning. Blustery, windy. I mean, boy, if you're standing outside today, you're going to have to hold on to something. It's gusting really, really big this morning. Been windy for a few days here. This time of year, it kind of blows everything that went to Texas over winter back to Kansas through the spring. So we're definitely feeling it today. I want to share a message with you that it's a timely message, actually. I've probably spent many hours speaking these very passages of Scripture multiple different times. But as I've said before in some messages where we talk about asking God for things, I use the phrase ask Him again, and then ask Him again and ask Him again. Well, what he said to me as I looked this message over, and I thought, man, this is stuff we've gone over before, and I know it's not the same message. It's not the same put together the way I've put another message together using this passage of Scripture. But basically what he said to me was, speak it again. Speak it again. So I'm going to share with you a message that's very familiar, but I think for some reason, as hard-headed as we can become at times, God is simply saying to us, we need to hear this again. We need to pay attention to it, especially as the days approach, the days that we are in today. So today I want to share a message with you that says, the time has come. The time has come. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. I love verse 2. I mean, this is Paul, or maybe Timothy talking here, but I think it's actually Paul talking to Timothy. I didn't research that, so you may need to correct me there. But he's saying, listen, I'm giving you a charge. I'm telling you, this is what you are to do. In verse 2, it begins with preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right and even when it is not. I love that. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who are in error in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin, exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. That verse 2 is an incredible piece to unpack. I won't take the time to completely unpack that, but I want you to understand what's being said here. As followers of Christ, we were commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. And we're an official messenger. That's we carry the sword. We carry the badge of honor as being a follower of Christ, not in pride, but in humility, that we are sold out to the brand. We are sold out to Jesus Christ. We are sold out to what has come to us in an infilling with the Holy Spirit. And we're to be ready whether it feels right or it isn't right. We're to be ready to preach the word. We're to be ready to tell someone about Jesus, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable. I mean, whether the weather conditions are right or whether it's a little stormy outside, we're to preach the word. And I love this, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. See, we live in a world that if it ain't convenient to us, we don't do nothing. If it's not in our favor, we don't do nothing. If it's not going to pick us up, we don't do anything. That's not what God's telling us. It doesn't matter if you're down in the dumps, you're still to share the word. It doesn't matter if you're fighting your last breath, share the word. That's who we're called to be. And we go on into this exhorting and encouraging those towards spiritual maturity. There's the key element. We're to walk with them and give them help growing in their maturity with an inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. Verse 3, for a time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth. Wow. That little beginning of that scripture right there speaks volumes of who and where we are in this world today. The time has come when people are not tolerating sound doctrine. Let me catch back up to here. And accurate instruction they're not tolerating the things that challenge them with God's actual truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. No one wants the real truth anymore. Just tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what makes me feel good. I don't want anything that's going to convict me, that's going to make me feel like, oh, hey, man, I got to correct this in my life. I don't want to correct anything. I just want to live my life, and I want you to tell me that I'm okay in doing so. That's what this passage of Scripture is saying, and that is very much where we stand in this world today. Verse 4 goes on to say, and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. Listen, there is a lot of man-made teaching out there today. There is a lot of myth. There is a lot of fable. There are many who are wandering off. The Bible says in the last days, even the elect, that's us, the elect, those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who are confessed followers of Jesus Christ, even the elect will be deceived, will be led astray. Even the elect, we're going to allow ourselves to be taught something that is not whole truth. Very dangerous, dangerous place to be. Verse 5, but as for you, be clear-headed in every situation. Stay calm and cool and steady. Endure every hardship. We're all going to face hardship. Nobody's walking this thing with a cherry pop, okay? Without flinching. We are to endure hardship without flinching and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill the duties of your ministry. I was whining a little bit the other day in my woe is me moments about my back and my back situation. And, you know, I've had the surgery in the early part of December and just not recovering very well. Still got a lot of problems, still not doing well at all, actually, in that particular region of my body, struggling quite a bit with that. And in the midst of my woe is me, God just kind of thumped me on the side of the head. And what came out of my mouth next, I've had to really take notice of. But what's wrong with my back doesn't affect my mouth. I'm just going to keep preaching. I'm just going to keep speaking the word that he puts into me. I'm going to be as faithful, even in the midst of hardship, and I'm going to do so without flinching. I'm trying my best to quit crying about my back and just speak the word. I know that God can heal me. I know that God can take care of me. I know that God can provide for me. I know all of those things. I speak it all the time, and I catch myself at times having to remember some of the things that I've spoken so that I can apply them to myself, and this is one of those. What are itching ears? It's a valid question. The Apostle Paul wrote a warning for the church. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 3. The Greek word translated itching literally means to itch, to rub, to scratch, or to tickle. We have itching ears, so we want the words to tickle our itching ears. To want one's ear tickled is to desire messages or massages rather than messages. That's perfect. To want one's ears tickled is to desire a massage rather than a message. Sermons that charm rather than sermons that challenge. Sermons that entertain rather than sermons that edify and please rather than preach. There's some deep, deep stuff right there. The people Paul warns about will have, as one commentator put it, ears which have to be continually titillated with novelties. In other words, they're looking for the tickling stuff. They're looking for the easy stuff. They're looking for the feel-goods. They don't want the challenges. Itching ears is a figure of speech that refers to people's desires, their felt needs, or even their wants. Remember, we talk about these things. We always say we need this or we need that or we want this or we want that or we would desire this. But the problem is, it's not what maybe God wants for us. It's not maybe what God desires for us. He'll take care of our need if it's an actual need. Oftentimes when we say we need something, well, it's kind of like me saying I need another gun. Well, I mean, you know, it's a gun. It's valuable. It has purpose. But do I really need it or do I just want one? You know, there's a big difference there, and we have to weigh that out at times. I know I stepped on somebody's toes there about wanting a new gun, but Let's see. It is these desires that impel a person to believe whatever he wants to believe rather than the actual truth itself. See, when we get hung up on our own wants, our own desires, our own what we think we need, it can in fact mess with the actual truth and what we accept or don't accept. We'll even begin to argue with actual truth because it doesn't fit the narrative that we want it to fit. Dangerous, dangerous place for us to find ourselves. When people have itching ears, they decide for themselves what is right or wrong, and they seek out others to support that notion. Again, putting up teachers because we have itching ears. I'm going to decide what I believe is right for me and wrong for me, not what you think, not what the Bible says. I'll make up my own rules. Again, a very dangerous place for us to be, but many are here at this moment in this time we are in. Itching ears are concerned with what feels good or comfortable, not with the truth. After all, truth is often uncomfortable. Often truth makes us change, creates problems if we don't change. Paul's warning is that the church would one day contain those who only opened their ears to those who would scratch their itch. Again, I believe this is something we've already been in for quite some time. Those with itching ears only want teachers who will assure them that all is well. Teachers who say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, I my first youth pastor at Durango, Colorado, was back in the late 90s. I opened our services back in the late 90s. People would email me all kinds of jokes and stuff, stories. You know, I'd get all this stuff. And so oftentimes when I opened our service or I took our offering, which was part of my job task as the youth pastor there, I would tell a joke that someone had sent me, or I would tell a story. And oftentimes the stories were very funny. They'd make us laugh. They'd brighten up the day. And other times the stories would really grip your heart, really challenge you, really pierce you. Something that might challenge you because of where you might be living at the very moment. I actually had a gentleman in our church come up to me after our service one Sunday morning, and he said, "Hey man, we love them funny stories you bring." He said, "Those are really good." He said, "Just make us laugh. Don't bring the other stuff." That, my friends, is right where what I'm talking about today is. It's because we have itching ears. We don't want to be challenged with anything that might make us change. Truth will make us change. It makes us uncomfortable sometimes. Where am I at? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 through 15. "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unfair gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals deceitfully. They have treated superficially the bloody broken wound of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Where? Or were they ashamed because they had committed disgusting and vile things? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not even know how to blush at their idolatry. Therefore, they will fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they will be overthrown, says the Lord." You catch what that just said? Were they ashamed because they had committed disgusting and vile things? No. No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not even know how to blush at their idolatry. "Therefore, they will fall among those who fall. At the time when I punish them, they will be overthrown." And there's a warning in that. It's saying, listen, that's not how we're to live. We're to live according to God's truth. We're to desire His truth. And we're to weigh our life against His truth. Not having itching ears. Not saying peace, peace when there is no peace. Not having a hardness of our heart that doesn't even allow us to blush at something that we've done wrong or said wrong. We got to learn to be able to be corrected. We got to be correctable and allowing ourselves to be corrected according to God's word. Where there is a demand for something, the suppliers are not far away. I spent enough time in business to understand that completely. Where there's a demand, the suppliers are going to be there. If a new demand is created, new suppliers come. It's just how that happens. Paul says that not only will there be great demand for watered-down, personalized messages, but there will be a great number of teachers willing to provide such easy-listening words and steer people away from sound doctrine. Oftentimes, we find the reasoning for this, money. If I tell you how you want me to speak, if I speak the words you want to hear, you're going to be more willing to get into your wallet at offering time. You're going to be more willing to listen to a tithing message about how you need to pay your tithes to the coffers, you know, so that God will look upon you favorably. But if I change that, if I challenge you about your lifestyle, a lot of people today will pack up and find another place to go because they don't want to be challenged. They want to be tickled. They want to be pleased, and they want to hear peace when there is no peace. Evidence today of people having itching ears includes the popularity of messages that people are not required to change, as if repentance were outmoded, and that people are basically good, that God is too loving, too loving to judge anyone, that the cross, with all its blood, it's not really necessary, and that God wants his children to be healthy, wealthy, and content in this world. I do believe that God wants us to be healthy. I do believe that God wants us to be content in this world in him, not in the things that the world has to offer. God doesn't have any partake in what the world has to offer us. Matter of fact, he said, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of me. It's his words, not mine. So listen, the evidence of today, this popularity of these feel-good messages. Man, I've seen a lot of debate about different ministers, especially big social ministers. I've talked about some of them. I won't mention any names today. But the I just want to love you messages is what people are flocking to. And it's not that some of these preachers, it's not that they're not speaking the word of God. Many are using scriptural foundation. Many are speaking the word. They're just choosing what word they speak. Wise? I do not think so. I think we need the whole plate. I don't think we need to pick and choose. That'd be like setting down the meal. Well, all I want is the dessert. I don't want the stuff that's healthy. I don't like healthy food. I got news for you. You look at me one quick moment, you realize I'm not a healthy eater. I don't like healthy food. But I have to partake of some things because if I don't, it's going to rot me away. Right? That's exactly what happens in the Word. If all we're concerned with is the things that taste good, the things that are pleasing, but we're not going to partake of the things that physically we need, the nutrient that can make us grow spiritually, the nutrient that can make us stronger when we come under attack, if we're not going to partake of those things, we're going to die. We're going to be washed away. We're going to be led astray. We're going to be living in a box that no one has any idea how to get out of. That's what a lot of the messages that are coming off our pulpits today very much are. They're leading you into a trap. And it's simply based on dollars. It's based on money. It's based on congregational size. I don't want to offend anybody because if I offend them, they're going to go away and we won't get their tithe money. We won't get their offering check. I gotta speak peaceably to them so they'll stay here and keep their money here. Oh my gosh, what a dangerous place that is today. Sadly, it's being defended by many, it is an atrocious fact that we're not demanding pure truth. We're not demanding whole truth. We're just simply accepting partials. I got off on a rabbit trail there. As people turn their backs on the truth about sin and condemnation, they disregard their need for repentance and forgiveness. Listen, if you're going to a church service that doesn't challenge your spiritual life to go deeper, that doesn't challenge you to draw closer to God, that doesn't require some change in you in order for you to draw closer to God, you're probably in one of those that are just giving you dessert and not real meat. Real meat's gonna affect us. Even those of us who are walking with God as best we possibly can, even those of us who are seeking everything he has for him, the messages still impact us. They should. The messages still challenge us to go deeper. Because we live in an impure world. We live in a fallen society. We've got filth and darkness all around us every day. We should come in on Sundays excited about all the ministry we've done, but needing to be recharged, refueled, given some meat, some substance that helps us in the battle next week as we go back out and continue the work that God has given us to do. A craving for new and fresher ideas grows. Even though there is nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1, 9 through 10, accompanied by a longing to feel good about who they are and where they're going. Everybody wants to know that they're in the right place and they're going the right direction, right? I mean, you don't want to be wandering around lost. Nobody wants to be lost. So instead of changing our way, we put teachers up that tell us that the way we're going right now is okay, that you're still going to get to the end result the same place, the same way. You walk your way, I'll walk mine. That's an absolute lie. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So it's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ is through surrender, through picking up our cross daily, through crucifixion to our old way of life and being raised again with him. That's just a simple, hard truth that might not tickle your ear, but it'll daggum sure change your heart. Amen. Some of the early followers of Jesus complained about some of the Lord's words. Many of his disciples even said, this is in John chapter 6, verse 60 and 66. It said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. What a tragedy that our desire for pleasure, our desire for the easy path, would make us turn away from following Jesus himself, whom obviously we've seen do the miraculous. We've seen do the incredible. Man, what a sadness. Walking away from hard truth is really pretty easy to do, especially in this day and age. I mean, there's a church on every corner, and you can find one who's not preaching a hard truth, not preaching a message that challenges you spiritually to mature, to grow. But many who will simply say, man, you're doing all right. Just show up, pay your tithes, you're good to go. God's going to bless you. In today's post-mortem church, we see many walking away from the hard truth, the convicting truth that condemns sin and calls for repentance and a right way of living. See, that's what hard truth does, is it condemns sin. It doesn't condemn the person. Jesus said God loves us. He loves the creation that he created, but he can't stand the sin. He condemns the sin. He hates the sin, and he calls for repentance. I'm going to have to teach on repentance soon. I've got some messages on that. But repentance is turning to a right way of living, living according to his word. Some churches that once preached sound doctrine now teach an acceptable as acceptable the very evils that the Bible condemns. You realize that. There are churches who are teaching the very evil the Bible condemns as sound doctrine. It's a lie. Some pastors are afraid to preach on certain passages of the Bible because he's afraid his congregation is going to leave him. Christian feminists deny God as a heavenly father, calling him a she. Gay Christians are not only welcomed without repentance into church fellowship, but into the pulpit as well. And listen, that gay Christians in quotation, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's possible. That's a whole nother day, but it's scriptural. Okay? That's the point. Sin is very blatantly laid out in the Word. It's not just gays. It's not just a murderer. It's a liar. It's a thief. It's a cheat. It's someone who cheats on their taxes. It's someone who cheats on their government. You start laying down what sin truly is. It goes against the way and word of God himself. And there's multiple levels of it. And there is no difference. Sin is sin. It's as black and white as it can be. The church's remedy for those who have itching ears is found in the same passage of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Not a word, the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, we need to be careful, the same as I do when I prepare these messages, to be careful that I stay within the boundaries of God's law. I want his word coming out. I study deeply words I don't understand. I want to know that I'm speaking actual truth. But I challenge you today, never take a message from mine for granted. If you hear something in my word that doesn't line up or something doesn't check right, dig it up. Go look. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. My buddy up in Missouri, I was just up there this week and this last week, and he's got a book. I wish I took a photo of it. I didn't. that he uses. It's got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of questions you might have, and it's how to find certain things in the Bible. So in other words, you could look up abortion, and it gives you all the scriptural references that the Bible talks about abortion. There's nothing new under the sun. You understand that? Ecclesiastes says that to us, there's no new sin. Chances are someone's already tried it, someone's already dabbled with it, and it's already in the Word. God's Word is truth, and it attacks and adjusts all those things. But I find it very interesting that we need careful instruction. We need to know that what's being spoken is truth. And I challenge you to check my word against His word. I don't want to bring you anything that's just mine. I'll warn you when I use the MOV, which is my own version of the Bible. And usually it's in a lightheartedness, but because I don't have any authority over God's authority. His word is truth. It is a solemn charge that's made there. Preach the word. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and a view of his appearing in his kingdom. That's in verse 1. And it contains all the elements needed to combat the temptation to tickle ears. Preach, correct, rebuke, and encourage. The content of preaching must be the written word of God, and it must be preached when convenient and when inconvenient, when someone wants to hear it and even if they don't. This takes great patience and careful instruction, but sound doctrine is worth every penny of it. The church's request to manage the comfort level of its audience must never take priority over preaching the word. Do you understand that? The church's quest to manage the comfort level of its audience must never take priority over preaching the word. The fear of offending people's sensibilities can never supersede the fear of offending God. Lordy, I gotta hurry. Rather, the church should follow the example of the apostles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." The church today, more than ever, needs to re-examine the teachings that it endorses. We need to ask ourselves the following questions. Are our teachings truly from God, or simply itches that we want to scratch? Are we standing on solid biblical grounds, or have we allowed the world to influence our thinking? Have we guarded ourselves from the schemes of Satan? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all of the schemes and the strategies of the devil and the deceits of the devil." Are we keeping ourselves blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "Now may the God of grace," or God of peace, himself sanctify you through and through, that is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is, God is concerned with scratching our itches. He's not concerned with scratching our itches. God is passionate about transforming us into the image of his Son. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 3 says, "Therefore I urge you," remember what that word means, "because of this I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of yourself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and a purpose designed for service." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5 says, "But even if our gospel is in some sense hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Among them, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves merely as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Jesus had just finished a speech at the temple where he delineated differences between himself and his listeners. And he says this, is John chapter 8, verse 23 through 24. You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. Without the belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't have any hope. We have to surrender our will, our way of thinking, our mindset to him, and to believe who he is and what he was here to do, and to follow him through the rest of this life so that we're reunited with him once again. The result of Jesus' message was that even as he spoke, many believed in him. Verse 30. Then in verse 31, Jesus begins to speak just to those who had believed. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36 says, "So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, continually obeying my teaching and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin.'" Powerful, powerful verse right there. Verse 33 goes on to say, "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be set free?' Jesus answered, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, everyone who practices sin habitually is a slave to sin. Now the slave does not remain in a household forever, for the son or of the master does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free. If the son sets you free, you are free indeed," is another translation. "The truth will set you free." Listen, we cannot afford in our messages, in our witness, whether we're a preacher, whether we're just a parishioner, whether we're just a church goer, we still have a task. God called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's only in that truth that we can set anyone free. If we're not out to set people free, why are we opening our mouth at all? We don't have any reason to deceive anyone. Get your words right with him. Get your heart right with him. Get in line and be according to his word. Let the word correct and rebuke even you, and then preach that same word to others so that they might be set free in this day that we are in. Listen, our time here on this earth is short. I believe it. Now, I'm not even talking about what's coming tomorrow with the eclipse and all the hoopla going on with that. I don't worry about whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. None of that bothers me at all. All I know is I am here until he says I'm coming home, till he says, "Welcome into my rest, thy good and faithful servant." Those are the words I long to hear. Up until then, I'm going to fight the fight here on this earth. I'm going to preach the word according to the way I see it in God's word. I'm going to put out what he puts in. I have to. I don't have an option. God pours things into me all the time, and I have to sit down and write that out in a passage that I know I can share it with someone else, because I believe that's what he's given me to do. There are words that he's given I believe were just for me, because they're still sitting in a folder over there, and I've never been able to release them to you. So I believe they were for me to gain, to learn, to be corrected, or to be moved forward in my maturity for whatever reason. But when God releases it to be shared, I'll share it. But until then, I'm going to study his word, all of it, not only the parts I want to see, not only the parts I want to hear. I'm going to go to a church where the man of God standing on that platform is preaching the fire of God, preaching the full gospel, led by the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead him, guide him, and have control of that service. That's where we all belong. That's what you should be looking for in everything you're being taught today. God's word is good. If it's being spoken, it's good. But there is word that will bring conviction to the heart of the sinner that sets the captive free. That's the word that we need to be speaking today. It does no good to preach a feel-good message off a platform with 1,000 people and not challenge someone to come out of their sin. If we're not challenging someone to come away from their sin into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are spinning our wheels today. Get in line with what God's word says. speak the truth. It's correcting, it's teaching, it's uplifting, it sets us apart. That's what he's calling us to do today. Lordy, what a powerful message. What a powerful word. The time has come, and I do believe that the time is here, that people are stepping away from sound doctrine at a fast pace. It's up to us to stand for the truth of the Word of God. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for allowing me a little extra time today, getting a little long-winded here. God bless you. Rhonda and I love you. We thank you for all your prayers. We thank you for your support. Please continue to pray with us. Walk with us on this journey. If God leads us to support us financially, all of our giving links are on our website, pinned right at the top of our Facebook page. We'd greatly appreciate having your support, partnering with us as we continue this journey of seeking out that which is lost so that they may be found. Amen. God bless you. Find your way to a fire-breathing church this morning full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.